What else besides software could be on the table in terms of export controls?
A lot more.
A lot more. I mean, you have. You have a lot more. We have airplanes. We have airplane parts. You remember that from last time? And we were just surprised that China have a very good relationship with President Xi, and they did that. This is not something that I, you know, instigated. This was just a response to something that they did. And they didn't really aim it at us. They aimed it at the whole world. The whole world is subject to it. So I thought it was very, very bad. But we have many things, including a big thing is airplane. They have a lot of Boeing planes, and they need parts and lots of things like that, Steve. It was shocking. I can tell you, Howard and I and Todd, Scott, we were all speaking about it before. And it was, we said, where did that come from? It was just, that was out of the blue.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, October the 11th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the rare earth minerals that China controls, and that China is now putting additional limitations on. And this announcement from China has resulted in the Trump administration slapping on an additional 100% tariffs onto China on top of the already existing 30% tariffs. So we're looking at 130% tariffs that the Trump administration has now placed on China. And all of this is happening before a meeting of the APEC summit to take place in South Korea, where Trump was expected to meet with Xi Jinping, and they were expected to find some sort of a resolution to their ongoing trade and tariff war. So what happened the other day with China and rare earth elements? Well, China announced that it is going to place additional export controls on five more rare earth elements, which brings the total to 12 of the 17 rare earths that China controls, having export controls as well as additional regulations and licensing limitations. Basically, what this means is that if, for example, the United States wants rare earths from China, which they absolutely 100% need in order to, manufacture weapons, fighter jets and stuff like that, well, they are going to have to apply to get those rare earths. And when it comes to military equipment, dual-use goods, which can be used in civilian but also in military products, the Chinese government will most likely not approve rare earths for military use. And this has upset the Trump administration, obviously, because it is going to significantly impact the United States' ability to manufacture weapons. And so Trump retaliated with 100% tariffs. So that's what we have going on. Here is a post from Ask Perplexity, October 9th, 2025. China's Ministry of Commerce issued announcement number 61 and 62, expanding rare earth export controls to 12 of 17 elements and imposing extraterritorial licensing requirements. This is direct retaliation for U.S. semiconductor export bans announced days earlier. China controls 70% of global mining, 90% of processing, and 93% of permanent magnet production, Each F-35 requires 417 kilograms of rare earths. China refines 100% of global samarium. So basically, China has a monopoly on rare earths, which are needed to manufacture, for example, an F-35. And this move does appear to have been done in retaliation for the United States placing bans on semiconductors to China, semiconductor and chip technology to China. So China's response, as we head towards the APEC summit and a possible meeting between Xi and Trump, is that they are placing additional rare earths under export controls, as well as adding additional licensing requirements, specifically for dual-use goods and specifically for those dual-use goods which can be used in military production. Whether the United States, the Trump administration, likes it or not, I don't like it. I don't like it, but whether they like it or not, when it comes to this war, this tariff trade war, China holds the Trump card, which is the rare earth. The rare earth card, that is the Trump card that China holds, and Trump can place 100% tariffs, he can place 200% tariffs and 5,000% tariffs. It's not going to change the reality of the situation, which is that when China wants to put the squeeze on the United States and even the squeeze on the U.S. Military industrial complex, they can do it. They can do it with one simple move, like they have shown. So dual-use goods, huh? Remember when the collective West was cheering on sanctions against Russia pertaining to dual-use goods, right? No purchasing of dual-use goods for Russia. No exports of dual-use goods to Russia. Goods that can be used by the Russian military for the Putin war machine. Dual-use goods, which included washing machines, right? Washing machine chips. Yep. Dual-use goods. Ursula's famous Tatters speech. I don't think she said washing machines. Did she say washing machines, or did she say... did she say something else? Dishwashers, I believe, is what she actually said. But anyway, the chips in those dishwashers or washing machines are dual use. So we are going to ban them from going to Russia. Or as Kaya Kallas said, Game Boy, Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, whatever, game controllers, right? Dual use goods, because those game controllers, according to Kaya Kallas, can be used to operate drones. Dual-use goods. So when the collective West does it, when they place sanctions on dual-use goods, well, then it's good. But when China decides to place export controls on rare earths because of the ability of these elements to be used in dual-use goods like military production, then it's bad. Then Trump and the United States has a meltdown. So when they do it, it's good. When China does it, it's bad. So that's the big news from yesterday. And man, did the markets crash, man. They crashed. U.S. to impose 100% tariffs on China. The president's announcement sent shockwaves through global stock markets. Shockwaves through global stock markets. Stock markets, says CNN. Yeah, Trump posted on Truth Social his anger for what China has done. He says this is against the entire world, is what Trump said. It's not only targeting the United States, it's against the entire world what China has done. True, the export controls are about the about it, and any country that wants the rare earths, they have to go through the requirements to get those rare earths. But something tells me that when Russia wants the rare earths, it'll be a lot easier than when the United States wants the rare earths. Something just tells me that's going to be the situation, right? But yeah, Trump posted a very angry Truth Social post. I'm not going to read it, but he does say that the 100% tariffs are going to go into effect on November the 1st. The APEC summit is taking place on October, the end of October, till November the 1st. So obviously, this is a negotiation tactic, as perhaps what China is doing is a negotiation tactic to get some leverage, to send a message to the United States, to the Trump administration, before they potentially, possibly meet in South Korea. Trump said that he doesn't see any reason to meet Xi Jinping in South Korea after everything that went down. But then he was asked again about a meeting with Xi Jinping, and he said, no, I didn't say we're not going to meet. There's like a bee that's following me. Dang, man. Come on, Mr. Bee. Anyway, walk and talks, man. Walk and talks. You never know what ends up attacking you. In this case, insects. Anyway, yeah, Trump said that he walked it back. He said that no, we'll probably have a meeting with Xi Jinping. Crypto markets, man, did they crash yesterday? Bitcoin, as well as crypto and altcoins. I think one of the biggest crashes, if not the biggest crash in history for altcoins. Bitcoin, it crashed hard, but it didn't crash as bad as all the altcoins and crypto. But one person, we don't know who, but one person made out really well from what happened yesterday. Check out this post on X from Stock Market News. A whale on Hyperliquid, a crypto derivatives exchange opened massive short positions just 30 minutes before Trump's 100% China tariff announcement. He closed the trades for $192 million in profit all in one day. The accounts were created this morning. Funds withdrawn within hours. Someone always knows. Yeah, someone always knows. $192 million in one day by taking a short position 30 minutes before the announcement. Nothing strange going on there, right? Nothing strange at all. So the Trump administration, they also told China to stop their flights over Russian territory. So they sent a warning to Chinese airlines that they need to stop flying over Russia, because this gives them an unfair advantage, because U.S. airlines, they cannot cross over Russia. And this is because Russia prohibited EU as well as U.S. collective West airlines from crossing over Russian airspace in retaliation for Europe and the United States prohibiting Russian airlines from crossing over their territories. So it was done in retaliation. It was the collective West that did it first. They were the first ones to ban Russian airlines from access of their airspace. Actually, that was one of the first things that they did. Banning media and banning Russian commercial flights was the first thing that the collective West did, was the first thing that Ursula von der Pirate announced when the special military operation started. So in retaliation, Russia said, okay, you're not going to let our airplanes cross over your territory. Well, we're not going to allow your airlines to cross over Russian territory, which is massive. And the United States is now claiming that this gives China an unfair advantage. But anyway, I imagine that this is more about Europe than it is about the U.S. Airlines, because the European airlines, including the U.K. airlines, Lufthansa and the German airlines have really been hit hard by not having access over Russian airspace. And yeah, it has given Chinese airlines a big advantage, right, in time and in cost, because they can fly over Russia to get to their destinations in Europe. And the European airlines, well, they have to go around. They have to find alternate routes or they've closed down their routes altogether. Like, for example, British Airways. I believe British Airways closed down its route, its flights to China. So the United States is upset with Russia, right? They're upset with Russia, even though they're the ones that started it. They started this thing. They're the ones that came up with the genius idea of blocking off airspace. And they're upset. Actually, they're upset with China. And they're upset with China because China has benefited from the access of the Russian airspace. So that's what's going on here. Did that make sense? The United States and Europe, they banned Russian airlines. Russia retaliated. This gave an advantage to Chinese airlines, which have access to the Russian airspace. And so the United States is now upset with China. Just try to figure that one out. Huh? Anyway, they don't really think too far ahead, the leaders of the collective West, when they come up with this stuff. So in Ukraine, the Russian military, they sent more drones and missiles, this time towards Odessa, and they smashed Odessa and caused blackouts in much of Odessa, in the same way that they caused blackouts in Kiev. And Maria Bezoglaya, she said that if you are living in Kiev, then it's probably best that you go elsewhere for the winter, because she said that there is a very good chance that Russia will continue to hit the energy infrastructure, as well as the railway infrastructure. They will continue to smash this infrastructure. She said that the air defense systems are not really working out too well, an admission that the Patriot systems are not effective against the Russian, let's go this way, against the Russian drones and the Russian missiles. And she is suggesting that if you are in Kiev and you have the ability to leave the city during the winter, then you should do it. That is what Maria Bezoglaya said yesterday. And the Green Goblin, he is blaming what is happening, at least in Kiev, on Klitschko, on the mayor of Kiev. He didn't exactly get into the details as to why he blames Klitschko, but he just does. He blames Klitschko for the blackouts. He blames Klitschko for the fact that Russian missiles are smashing Kiev's energy infrastructure. He blames Klitschko for the fact that Patriot air defense systems are not able to handle the Russian drones and the Russian missiles. Actually, Zelensky said that we can't use Patriot missiles against the Russian drones, because it would be a waste of the Patriot missile, an admission that Ukraine is low on Patriot missiles. So he said, as far as drones go, we have to let them through. We can't really waste Patriots on drones. And as far as missiles go, they're not that effective on the Russian missiles either. Anyway, Zelensky, he is blaming everything that is happening, at least in Kiev, on Klitschko, who is a political rival of the Green Goblin. So an interesting development happened yesterday. We received reports as well as a speech from Melania Trump. So we got some reports, and then Melania Trump gave a speech. She issued a statement saying that she has been working with the Putin administration, with the Russian government, to locate the families of children affected in the war. And this is not only for Ukrainian children as well as Russian children, any children that have been separated from their parents and from their families. Melania Trump is working with the Russian government to locate the families. And she actually said that the Russian government is being very, very transparent. She said very objective, very helpful. And she even said in her statement that from yesterday that in one day, just the other day, she said, we've located the families of eight children with the help of the Russian government. She said the Russian government is providing photographs, biographies, all the details to Melania about the children and how they're trying to locate the families of the children. They're being very transparent, she said, and they're being very helpful in locating the families of the children, which runs completely counter to what Melania and Lindsey Graham were saying or were hinting at about a month or two ago, right? Remember in Alaska, or two, three months ago in Alaska, where Trump handed Putin a note, and it was about the children from Melania, and basically it was blaming Putin for the 19,000 missing children or children that have been separated from their families. And then Lindsey Graham jumped on this, and he started to blame the Russian government, and the media grabbed onto this as well. And it looks like what happened is that Melania, good on her, very good on Melania, she decided to contact Russia directly, or the Russian government got in contact with Melania directly, without the Lindsey Grahams and without all the noise. And they found a way to work together. And it looks like she's now changing her mind on this, which is a positive development, a very positive development. So anyway, that happened yesterday. And we now can talk about the conflict that could be coming in Venezuela, and the Maduro government. They are saying that a conflict could be happening any day now. That is a statement that they put out yesterday. They are asking the Security Council to convene a session, an emergency session, to try and prevent a U.S. operation, a regime change, decapitation strike against the Maduro government. And the New York Times, they actually published an article yesterday with the title, Venezuela's Maduro Offered the U.S. His Nation's Riches to Avoid Conflict. And this New York Times article says that, wow, a beautiful church. This New York Times article says that Maduro, it claims, according to their sources familiar with the matter, those sources that are familiar with the matter, they claim that the United States has been in negotiations with the Maduro government for many months now, and Maduro is trying desperately to avoid a conflict with the United States, and he's so desperate to avoid this conflict that, according to the New York Times and their sources, Maduro is basically offering everything to the United States, or at least to U.S. oil companies. He's offering them lucrative contracts for Venezuela's oil and energy resources. He's offering the Trump administration for Venezuela to move away from China and Russia. He's saying that we'll move away from China and Russia and Iran and whatever energy that we are sending to China, for example, that we're exporting to countries that you don't want us to export, will stop, and we'll prioritize the United States, and we'll give preferential contracts and treatment to U.S. Oil and energy companies. And basically, Maduro was giving everything to the Trump administration in return for the Trump administration to not press forward with a military operation or with some kind of a regime change. And according to the New York Times, this is all from the New York Times, right? According to the New York Times, this was not enough. Rubio said no. Rubio vetoed all of this. He vetoed the entire negotiation that was taking place. And Rubio basically decided that regime change, Maduro had to go no matter what. Whatever Maduro offered, he had to go. And so Rubio said no to Maduro. He said no to the talks. He didn't care what Maduro was offering the United States. And so we're moving ahead with a regime change. And that's where the Nobel Prize fits in, right? The Nobel Prize has set the table for the regime change operation. They've nominated, or they've given the prize, not nominated, they've given the prize to what's her name, Corina Machado. And now everything is set for the regime change of Maduro and for Machado and the other guy, Edmundo Gonzalez. Everything is set for some sort of regime change operation and for them to return to Venezuela, if this is a successful regime change operation, for them to return to Venezuela and become the leaders of the country, of the regime changed country. At least this is how Marco Rubio and the neocons are seeing this thing, right? And so the Nobel Regime Change Prize, it shouldn't be called the Nobel Peace Prize. It should be called the Nobel Regime Change Prize, right? And actually, Maria Corina Machado, she actually posted on X to President Trump, a thank you to Trump, and we need your support. A thank you for receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. Thank you to U.S. President Trump for everything that you're doing, and we're going to need you, U.S. President Trump, going forward as we bring democracy to Venezuela. Right? Let me read you her post. The immense recognition of the struggle of all Venezuelans is an impetus to conclude our task to conquer freedom. We are on the threshold of victory, and today more than ever, we count on President Trump, the people of the United States, the peoples of Latin America, and the democratic nations of the world as our main allies to achieve freedom and democracy. Venezuela will be free, according to Machado. And you know what? Trump actually posted this on Truth Social. He actually posted this message from Machado on Truth Social. Trump also said in a statement, as he was speaking to the media, that Machado called him, spoke with him or his administration, and told Trump that he deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. This is what Trump claims. Maybe it did happen, right? Maybe she did call Trump and said, you know, you really deserve this Nobel Peace Prize. But Trump was joking around, saying, you know, she told me I deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, but I'm not saying that I should get the Nobel Peace Prize from her. So he was kind of joking around about it.
The person who actually got the Nobel Prize called today, called me and said, I'm accepting this in honor of you because you really deserved it. That was a very nice thing to do. I didn't say, then give it to me, though. I think she might have. She was very nice. And I've been helping her along the way. They need a lot of help in Venezuela. It's a basic disaster. So, and you could also say it was given out for 24, and I was running for office in 24. You know, all of the transactions that we did in terms of closing. But there are those that say we did so much that they should have done it. But I don't take – I'm happy because I saved millions of lives.
Anyway, he posted her message on Truth Social. That should be a sign right there that it looks like the regime change operation is now in the works, now that they have the Juan Guaido, the deep state intel agency Juan Guaido narrative. They've got it all set up thanks to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. And there you have it. There you have it. Now we understand the purpose of this Nobel Peace Prize award. We understand what is going on here with the award to Machado. One of Trump's communication directors, Stephen Chung, posted, President Trump will continue making peace deals, ending wars, and saving lives. He has the heart of a humanitarian, and there will never be anyone like him who can move mountains with the sheer force of his will. The Nobel Committee proved they place politics over peace. Yeah, that is true. They do place politics over peace. I agree with Stephen Chung on that one. No doubt about it. They do place politics over peace. The Nobel Regime Change Award. Putin was asked about Trump not getting the Nobel Peace Prize. And Putin said that there have been a lot of people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize who did nothing, didn't deserve it. And then he went on to say that Trump deserved it, right? So that's pretty much what Putin said. He said that Trump does desire peace, right? He's working for peace, he said, in the Middle East. And he said he's working for peace with Ukraine. That is what Trump said, what Putin said about Trump. He said, an example of Trump working for peace is seen in the Middle East. And he says, we also see it in Ukraine, that Trump does desire peace. Let's see what's in here. I have no idea where I am, by the way. I'm just kind of walking around. But this looks interesting, this area. So yeah, that was the statement that he made. And guess what? Trump actually posted what he said on... It's a food court. Okay. It's a food court. As I walk around, I have to be careful about music. So yeah, he actually posted it on Truth Social, what Putin said, which is interesting. And he said, thank you. He said, thank you, President Putin, which is going to cause the neocons and collective West leaders to have a collective meltdown, right? They're going to lose their mind at... There's music here, so let's walk around that way. So they're going to lose their mind at the fact that Trump posted this video message from Putin saying, thank you, President Putin. And so now Alexander Stubb is going to go back to the United States and talk to Trump. And Macron is going to go to the United States and talk to Trump. And Lindsey Graham is going to talk to Trump. And Kellogg's going to talk to Trump. And they're going to tell him, why did you say thank you, Mr. Putin? And Zelensky's probably in a corner sucking his thumb and crying, saying, why is Trump saying thank you, Putin? And it's going to cause a complete meltdown in the collective West, and all of these European leaders and neocons are now going to go to Trump and start whispering in Trump's ear about how Russia is bad and Putin is bad. And the next week, we're going to have a post from Trump on Truth Social saying that Russia is bad and Putin is bad, right? That's how this is going to go, because he said, thank you, Mr. Putin. Now you're going to have this huge campaign from the neocons and from... let me lower the audio. One sec. Okay. So you're going to have this huge campaign from all of these guys to talk to Trump and to get him to post something bad about Russia. That's what's going to happen now. Alexander Stubb is probably flying back to Finland, and he's reading this post on Truth Social, and he's saying, oh my God, pilot, turn the plane around. I have to return to D.C. Man, anyway, should we do a clown world? Wrap this this video up. Let's do a clown world. And here's a clown world for you. Let's go this way. Le Carnu is going to be the prime minister of France. That's right. Macron is saying no to parliament elections. And he has decided that he will appoint a new prime minister. And the new prime minister is the old prime minister that resigned after 27 days. Le Carnu is back as prime minister of France. What a clown show, man. What a freaking clown show. What a disaster for Macron. Le Carnu accepted. Macron nominated Le Carnu again. Le Carnu accepted. And now we're just going to go through the same routine. He's going to try to get a budget passed. And in a couple of months, the government will collapse again. And we all know how this song and dance goes. Bardella and other opposition politicians in France, they have already said that they're not going to accept Le Carnu round two, and that this is embarrassing for Macron and his administration, and just call elections is what they're telling Macron. You're trying to buy time, you're trying to avoid elections, and it's not going to work. Those were pretty much the statements from politicians like National Rallies, Bardella, and the politicians from the left as well. They said the same thing. So the right and the left pretty much said the same thing, that they don't accept the new prime minister who was the old prime minister who only lasted for about a month. So anyway, that is the clown world. And I think I will end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We are on Telegram. Like this video. And subscribe to this channel. And yes, I forgot to say that in the beginning of the video again. But maybe tomorrow I will say to like this video in the beginning of the video. So I am signing out. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.